So my early years were in the kind of churches that tried to work out exactly what Revelation meant. You know, was a particular politician the Antichrist? Was the European, European Union the beast? Yep, that's a true thing I heard at church once. Were we in the last days? And was Chernobyl one of the angels of destruction which John refers to? That kind of wild speculation. And there was great interest in the rapture. One particular interpretation of scripture which says that before Jesus returns, faithful Christians will be lifted into the sky while everyone else will be left to live on earth filled with unimaginable horrors. I did see a cartoon once with a single Anglican vicar standing in a pulpit and looking up. And the caption was, and the first thought the Reverend Jones had was how the rapture had ruined a perfectly good church roof. Of course, all of this is, to be honest, nonsense. Revelation is a vision. It's a dream. It's not a book of doctrine or a blueprint for the end of the world, no matter what the Omen series says. It's a poetic expression of mystical faith, and indeed an expression of hope. It uses images popular in what is known as apocalyptic literature to instill in its readers a calling to be faithful and the hope of a future in which all will be resolved and all will be well for those who hold fast to their faith and remain true to Christ. In this, the book of Revelation echoes the book of the prophet Daniel in the Hebrew scriptures, and indeed the vision of the prophet Zechariah, which we also heard today. In fact, the seven lamps mentioned in today's reading of Zechariah is also referenced in the first chapter of the book of the Revelation to St. John. Some scholars speculate that this type of literature is a coded critique of empire in a time when it was punishable by death to speak out against the emperor. Whatever the code is, the book is filled with images that we don't understand, for this type of literature is not familiar to us anymore. And besides, we've got much too literal as a culture to be able to apprehend or appreciate the style or the images within these writings. In short, whatever it is, we don't get it. Not really. And yet, there are some things we can take away from these types of visions which both the Hebrew and Christian scriptures contain. Firstly, to value dreams, visions, and imagination. Many years ago, I said to a spiritual director I didn't remember my dreams, not even fragments of them, and she said it was because I didn't value them. In fact, I was very rude about other people's dreams when they told me theirs. And then just a few months ago, when the bishop encouraged me to do a life review, I was encouraged by that reviewer to pay attention to dreams, to set an intention before sleeping that I would remember them. I kept a dream journal as fragments started appearing, and my reviewer would go through what these dreams might be telling me, saying that there are two types of dreams: those where our unconscious is speaking to us in an unfiltered way, and much rarer, those where the divine meets us. Dreams and visions can offer us hope and meaning, and they can fire the imagination. They can inspire art, poetry, music, and our daily living and action. These parts of Scripture remind us that dreams are a good thing, and that's worth paying attention to. And secondly, these visions, while not literal, are also sources of hope. That wonderful part of today's reading which says, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying will be no more, for the first things have passed away." This is a passage that we sometimes use at funerals, not as a false hope, but with the genuine hope that at some point our pain will end and there will be a new way of being. It may come after death, but actually the vision is not saying that this is what happens in a possible place called heaven after death. But it's something that happens right here on earth when the divine life is present. It's an encouragement to keep working on the practice of the presence of God in our prayers, in our lives, in our communities, in our activism, in our love for all. It's a message of hope which indeed offers comfort in our loss, but also an inspiration to keep going with the good. So rather than dismiss these visions of our scripture, I look for those parts which inspire and challenge us in them. Those parts where we can glimpse some of the meaning in between the unfamiliar imagery. I would say again, please don't take any of this literally. But like in great music, great art, great writing, use these visions to open up the imagination. In our journey of faith, let us use these images to remind us of what the divine can do in us, through us, and around us, when we have the eyes and the faith to grasp it. Amen.